This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up a bit later, Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals will join us, and Dan Colco will join us in studio. It is Nationals opening day, so lots to look forward to. Time to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Thanks to our next guest for popping on, basically unscheduled.
Short notice.
John Rothstein, College Hoops insider for CBS Sports, content creator, host of the College Hoops Today podcast for Compass Media. John, thanks for joining us, man, on short notice. We appreciate that.
No problem, fellas. Happy Thursday to all of you.
Happy Thursday. Yeah. Happy Sweet 16 Day. So, how did we get to this point where there's so much upheaval in College Park, as you've dubbed it, the spring break capital of the Northeast, with Kevin Willard, you know, airing the dirty laundry before the Grand Canyon game, and then he came on the Team 980 AM here, and he was joined by Kevin Sheehan. He basically said, as of right now, I'm staying at Maryland, and then yesterday during his press conference, he was asked a question about his future and the NIL revenue sharing and how things are going with Mike Locksley at College Park. He completely ignored the question. Like, how have we gotten here? The game has been completely overshadowed by the Kevin Willard drama.
Yeah, I mean, Maryland's in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 9 years, and it feels like literally the game tonight against Florida is a backdrop to everything that's going on this week. And that's unfortunate for fans of Maryland basketball, but it's the utmost truth, because Kevin Willard now is in a position where he has a lot of leverage. He was offered on Selection Sunday an opportunity to remain at the University of Maryland and become one of the top 10 highest paid coaches in the sport. But as we know, there is one major power conference opening left in the college basketball coaching carousel. That is Villanova, and Villanova is waiting on a yes or a no from Kevin Willard before they decide to move forward in a different direction.
So do you know anything about the Villanova offer? Did they make an official offer to Willard?
You know, this is what I know, guys, and this is what I can tell you. Villanova has been very judicious in its search, and Villanova, if it wanted to have hired another potential head coach that they've talked to, they would have hired another coach.
Right.
I know for a fact that Villanova has had contact with several people since it parted ways with Kyle Neptune that are no longer coaching in the NCAA tournament. One of them was Richard Pitino, who took the Xavier job the other night because he had an opportunity to obviously get a Big East job and didn't want to wait to see what happened with Villanova because he had the opportunity to be the head coach at Xavier. So when you're looking at things right now from 30,000 feet, it's pretty clear. Villanova is waiting on Kevin Willard before it moves forward and it starts in a different direction.
So if Willard departs, let's just run this hypothetical. He leaves for Villanova. He leaves for a place that's not going to give as much money to the football program because they have a subdivision team. He just thinks the grass is greener there. What happens to Maryland? Who fills the void at Maryland? Because as you're mentioning, these other coaches are filling in the openings, like Patino at Xavier and Sean Miller goes to Texas. So, like, where would the Terps turn if Willard up and bolts for Philadelphia?
And who makes the decision?
Villanova?
Since they don't have an acting athletic director, who makes that decision?
These are all things which I think, you know, over the next week could cause the sales at Bentley's to be through the roof. Because Maryland fans are going to have to drown their sorrows. And this is the peculiar thing, guys. Maryland has the opportunity and the personnel to still win multiple games in this NCAA tournament and get to a Final Four. This is all on the table for Maryland, but again, the game and the team, which has been obviously really, really strong over the last month of the season, is all a backdrop right now to what's going on with the head coach.
John, if he does go to Villanova, why isn't it okay just to make it public or make it known? The players don't care. I mean, the players in McNeese aren't stupid. They know Will Wade was leaving. The players at VCU, they're not stupid. They knew Odom was leaving. The players at Colorado State knew Medved was leaving. You still want to go out and win games, but if he's going to take the Villanova job, just you put it all to rest. Okay, I'm going to Villanova. Let's just go out and win a national championship.
Yeah, I can't speak for Kevin Willard, but it's really, really clear this. Kevin Willard has all the leverage in the situation. Kevin Willard is obviously, you know, you can't change people when they get to a certain age. People are who they are. He is going to let this thing play out as it's played out this week, which has become, I think, one of the stories of the Sweet 16, which is unfortunate for Maryland fans. But the guy holds all the power right now because Maryland, again, in Kevin Willard's defense, does not have an athletic director. Maryland also wants to have an infrastructure in place at Maryland. So if he stays, he feels like he has the bells and whistles needed to make Maryland again the program that he hopes it can be. And now we have a situation where, you know, again, this is all lingering.
Mm-hmm. John, you're a Philly guy, I believe. Tell us what Villanova is like.
He's New York.
Oh, you're a New York guy. Okay. What is the lore of Villanova versus a program like Maryland in the Big Ten?
I mean, I think the allure of Villanova is this, you know, the resources that Villanova has as the college basketball landscape has shifted is going to be, you know, immense in terms of what they can invest in the program, the way they're going to travel, the way that they're going to have resources for NIL. Obviously, with revenue sharing coming to the forefront, they're going to have a tremendous amount of resources to build a team. Kevin Willard also has tremendous familiarity with the Big East, with being at a basketball-centric school, and compared to his last Big East job, Villanova is a major, major step up to the resources and the infrastructure that he had when he was at Seton Hall.
John, the portal has been open for 4 days, and you know, that's a lot of people question why the portal is open during the NCAA tournament. I kind of understand it with so many players, you kind of have to spread it out. But the question is, with the portal open, who's making decisions at Villanova now with no head coach? And then who's making the decisions at Maryland if we don't know if Willard's going to be back? So who's being targeted at both schools?
Well, Maryland right now, again, is in a holding pattern because they're still playing. And as I said, they can win a couple of games and get to a Final Four. As far as Villanova goes, Villanova is playing in the college basketball crown next week, you know. Interim head coach Mike Nardi is going to coach them in that event. And then, you know, Villanova is going to be a holding pattern until it hires a new head coach. And Maryland is going to be a holding pattern if, you know, Kevin Willard leaves to take the Villanova job.
It's just crazy.
We're joined by John Rothstein, College Hoops insider for CBS Sports. You just tweeted this 5 minutes ago that the transfer portal opening in the middle of the NCAA tournament is terrible for college basketball. I agree. Why can't they just wait until the day after the tournament ends? Why can't they just shift the calendar?
I agree wholeheartedly. Yep. I think the Tuesday after the Final Four, after the national championship game, would be ideal. If it started next Monday after the Elite Eight, I could deal with it. But guys, we are constantly working all year long. And I know for me personally, somebody who goes to practices in the summer and obviously does content all year long, you're working for the NCAA tournament because it's the greatest event that we have in sports. And now this portal, while it's obviously become a necessary evil for teams to, you know, build their program and things like that, and I understand that, I embrace that, but it's overshadowing the sport's greatest event. Yeah. This is cannibalization, like at a Silence of the Lambs caliber level.
Yeah. So let's get in. The college football portal opens early December when teams are prepping for conference championships.
Yep.
I mean, it's nuts. All right, let me ask you this. Let's just say Willard does move to Villanova. All right. Give me a couple names that
I
you can't.
There's no surefire guy right now. Right. I mean, you know, Maryland is still an attractive job. I think they could get a sitting power conference head coach. I think somebody like Tony Skin down the road, who I reported last week that has finalized an extension to stay at George Mason, could be an attractive. But there is no person out there, you know, that you look at, you know, and say, like, this guy is, you know, a lock to be, you know, makes a lot of sense. There's no candidate that you look at and say, that's the guy.
Can I throw a name out?
Sure.
Mike Bray.
I think that makes a lot of sense from a Tide perspective, but the, you know, is Maryland going to hire somebody, you know, who has been out of college basketball, this landscape? Does Mike want to do this at 66? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, he was very interested in the job before they hired Turgeon, and I'm not saying that they're going to target him.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, I get it.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. We've talked about the leverage that Willard has. He's got the hammer, but my question is, why is he so coveted? You look at his career, 18 years. This is his first Sweet 16. Look, I know he was at Iona. He was at Seton Hall, which is not a powerhouse. But is he just coveted because there aren't that many guys left standing at this point? Like, why is he such a valuable commodity, in your opinion? Or in Villanova's opinion?
Kevin's a really, really good coach, guys. And I know that. You know, sometimes I think the NCAA tournament success, you know, gets in the way of that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But Kevin has, you know, familiarity with Villanova from his days in the Big East. He once beat Villanova in the Big East tournament title game in 2016. Kevin's a really, really good coach, as he's showing this year, you know, at Maryland. But, you know, also, you know, Villanova moving forward now for the first time in 55 years to somebody outside of the Villanova family for their head coaching spot, they're going to want somebody of a certain ilk. And Kevin Willard has the pedigree and obviously, you know, the resume of somebody who has great familiarity and success in the Big East. And I could see why that would be attractive to Villanova.
Hey, John, we know you're super busy. We appreciate you hopping on with us last minute. Thanks so much for the time, man. We'll have you on again soon.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
Yep, we'll try. Man. It's John Rothstein, at John Rothstein. No H in it in his name. He's a College Hoops insider for CBS Sports. He was nice enough to take some time out of his very busy schedule to join us.
In terms of his coaching chops, I read one article where he's been named Coach of the Year 7 times. Mm-hmm. Now, this is different spots, different levels. I think people think he's a good coach. I do wonder, you know, his answer. Maybe we can play this early. We played it very much at the top of the show. His non-answer to the question was pretty telling about a guy who just doesn't want to deal with it anymore, but he kind of opened the door to all this stuff.
Yeah, then
you know what I mean? He opened the door a week ago by airing all the dirty laundry and saying Damon Evans is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't happy with not being able to stay at a hotel an extra night and all that stuff. So he started there.
Yeah.
And the stories continued and lingered as the team won and advanced to Sweet 16. And then this is how he answered a question yesterday.
Very open the last week about, you know, trying to get greater NIL share, revenue share. I'm sure you saw Mike Loxley yesterday said he would prefer to keep some of these issues in-house. Why have you felt like kind of bringing this discussion in the open has been the best way to advocate for your program?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right going at like 38%. So really the last couple of days, trying to come up with a game plan to stop you know, Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen. And then really, you know, obviously trying to fix our rebounding woes have been at the top of my mind, too. So, yeah, it's a big problem.
I don't laugh a lot, and I don't smile a lot. That makes me smile.
It makes you snot your knee.
That answer does, yes.
Yeah. All right.
So but, you know, he did come out and say, and then Loxley criticized the whole situation, and I don't know, maybe his agent got to him, or maybe the Villanova people got to him, maybe the president of Maryland got to him and said, we can't talk about this anymore publicly, and that's how he reacted.
All right, you're welcome to call us throughout an open line Thursday, brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. 800-636-1067 is the number. You can chime in on the latest Kevin Willard drama. The Terps are in the Sweet 16 tonight against Florida. It's Nationals opening day. There's a ton going on. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. That's coming up at 8:25. We have time to get a few calls in before we get to Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. So let's head on out to the phones. Let's go to Sam calling from Ellicott City. Sam, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hello. How are you?
Good. It just seems like right now Maryland's house is on fire. It is ridiculous that it's a Sweet 16 game tonight, and now we're talking about another coaching search. There's no other Sweet 16 team talking about a coaching search right now. It's just crazy what's going on. Willard brought this on himself. He forced AD out. Now he's halfway out the door. And if I'm a Maryland fan, I don't even want this guy back.
It's a lot of people feel
seems
that way.
Like that's not an uncommon thought amongst Terps fans at this point. And look, maybe he wanted Damon Evans out partially because then he could say, well, I couldn't get a deal done with Maryland. There's no AD here. Like, so I'm going to flee to Villanova. I had no choice but to leave Maryland because the AD is now at SMU. He's not in College Park anymore.
He does have a deal, though. He's under contract.
Yeah, but he's looking for an extension. I'll give Willard credit in this. He's a master at using his leverage. Because he's leveraged.
I would love to know
right now.
I would love to know what the president gave up to keep Willard.
Right.
I would love to know what the numbers are.
I'd like to know too.
I'd like to know what the contract number is for him personally as a coach, and I would love to know what the revenue share would be.
I was thinking about this. So I went to Maryland from 88 to 92. Gary Williams is beloved.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Legend. And Gary's signature,
legend,
when he would come into Cole Fieldhouse back in the day, was the fist pump.
Sure.
And the crowd would go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stinks that we don't have a home game to see what the reception would be. But give me the reception of Kevin Willard. If they all of a sudden moved this Sweet 16 game to Xfinity, and it was a home game, what would it be like?
Wouldn't be good.
I think it would be booze.
Yeah,
wouldn't
be good.
Now, the team would get cheered, but Willard, when he came out, I think he would be met with booze.
That's a tough spot to return then. Not stupid. Like, he screwed up.
I'm trying to be rational about it.
Yeah.
Because I do think Willard is a good coach. I think he's a great X's and O's coach. I think he understands the NIL era that we're in right now.
Right.
Seems like the players really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like his attitude. But if he's going to be constantly flirting with other programs and he doesn't really want to be here, well, then why do I want him here?
By the way, good luck at Villanova. Well, Jay Wright, if you look at his success, and I know John Rothstein spoke about it, he goes through, his success was absurd. You're not going to get to Jay Wright's level.
Yeah.
Very unlikely unless you win like three straight national championships.
All right, let's go.
Real quick, speaking of Gary, I bet you Gary, if Willard does leave, Gary is going to be probably in the small room of people who decide who the next coach is if there's no AD.
Let's go to Jimbo calling in from Edgewater. What's up, Jimbo? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Maryland's one of the best programs in the nation, okay? We want Maryland people. Mr. Willard needs to be brought into a room this afternoon and fired. We will have the assistant coach, or if you want to fly Gary Williams out there to coach the team, that's
great.
Come on now. I'd be butt-sized.
Blood flow.
Immediate blood flow.
How... What a power move that would be. Like, if you fired Willard.
Can't believe you're entertaining that nonsense.
I love it. I don't care.
We're sharing a brain
here,
Bobby.
It's a big middle finger to
I love that move.
I love Gary as much as the next guy. He's not going to be a Band-Aid coach on 3 hours' notice.
A Gary fill-in for as long as they're still in the tournament?
How many post feeds would Derek Queen get? A billion.
He'd get all of them. Every
single
one.
They'd run their flex offense, and I'd be 6 to midnight.
That would be funny. I mean,
I'd be right there. You know what?
We'd
be
pressing. Oh, they'd press the entire game.
You know what we'd do? We would replay the White Lotus scene amongst us, you and I. If Gary went out and coached the team.
Oh. You know, there's a better chance of coaching on the sideline, Lefty.
Yeah, or me. I have a better chance, but I love the idea.
Hey, can we call Gary and ask him if he would coach?
That is a great idea,
sure.
Buddies. I'm all over it.
Give him a call.
Let's do it. Let's make this happen. We got like 11 hours to make this happen. Let's get this ball rolling.
Let's change topics.
All right, we're going to talk some Washington Capitals hockey with our friend Nick Dowd. He's powered by Verizon. Dowder, how are you this morning?
Hey, fellas, how are we doing? I'm doing well.
Doing well. Is it almost time for team breakfast in Minnesota at this point? Take me through the team breakfast. What are we having this morning?
I'm having an omelet.
Ooh, nice.
And some potatoes, bacon, and a side of oatmeal with a coffee.
Very good. Very good.
Do you have it in front of you already?
No. I am currently sitting in my hotel room talking to you guys.
Okay.
And then I'll head down after that.
Hey, let me ask you about a road trip to Winnipeg. Now, I know you guys aren't like out and about a lot. It's a business trip. I understand. You're there to try to get 2 points. In the case of this game, you guys got 1 point. You got 1 point on the road against one of the better teams in the league. Success. But like, what is there to do in Winnipeg? It just seems like the most barren, kind of desolate road stop in the NHL. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a lot going on in the streets of Winnipeg that I'm unaware of.
I'm not going to be up on anything, but I mean, there's you go grab dinner and you head back to the hotel. I'll leave it at that.
That's basically it. How far is Winnipeg from Minneapolis?
I think it's about a 7-hour drive, maybe a little bit more. I mean, it's like an hour
flight,
you know? Yeah. Hour plus flight. So, so, I mean, you got to go through customs, which is kind of annoying, but it's not terrible. So it's not bad. And you know, there's some good places to eat in Winnipeg. So you can get the job.
It's not a place that you're targeting for retirement living.
I'm probably not going to retire.
By the way, we were talking to Carbs yesterday, and I asked him about it because a buddy of mine kind of talked about it when he was watching the game. He felt like that game against Winnipeg had a strong like playoff atmosphere. What was your take?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think going into it, like we anticipated that only because the two teams that were playing were two good hockey teams that were. That were playing good hockey, and I thought we were, you know, matched up pretty well against them, like lineup wise. I consider us like a pretty deep team. They're a deep team, and you know, great goaltending on both sides. Really good special teams on both sides, right? So, I mean, it's a tough building to play in. You know, obviously they had a lot of fans there. People are watching try and break the record. So you know, he's drawn a lot of people in visiting buildings right now. And they're having a great year, right? So, I mean, they're a fun team to watch, but, playoff hockey in a nutshell is, you know, you have the teams that are successful are the ones that are basically, you know, you're willing to play the right way all game until someone makes a mistake, and then you capitalize on that mistake, and that's what playoff hockey is all about. I mean, it's at times there's not a lot of room out there. It's really hard to score. Special teams plays a huge role, and I think that's kind of what happened in that game. Like, there wasn't a ton of mistakes made. There wasn't a lot of shots. The goalies played well, and then you know when there was mistakes, good players capitalized. So.
Talking to Nick Dowd, center for the Washington Capitals.
He's, of course, powered by Verizon. So kind of just want a big picture assessment of where you're at. So the playoffs are looming. 71 games in, you have 103 points. About a month ago, maybe it was even further back, we talked about a little bit of a lull. But you guys are playing great hockey right now. You've won 8 of your last 10 games. How do you feel heading into this stretch?
Yeah, we feel, I mean, confident. I would say that, you know, we're not, I don't think we're counting the games down by any means. I think these are still important hockey games. And, you know, it's not like we're at game like, you know, 79, 80, stuff like that, where you can kind of start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But I still think that it's, these are important games from the standpoint of doing things the right way, and trying to stay consistent and get better every single day. And, you know, and obviously we're a good hockey team. We're playing, you know, we're playing at a level that no one anticipated. But, you know, there's always room. But, you know, good teams from great teams and being professionals is that you gotta find ways to get better, right? I mean, every single situation will occur in the playoffs, and I think you gotta be ready for that. So, I mean, even though we've put ourselves in a really good spot right now, heading in to the last, I think, 11 games or something like that, you know, I think it's important to guys be playing good individually. So,
Doubter, best of luck. It's good catching up with you. Get those 2 points against the Wild, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Get that
Enjoy
nap.
Breakfast.
Get that game day nap, my friend. That's Nick Dowd.
Powered to it.
Powered by Verizon as they take on the Minnesota Wild tonight. I believe puck drop 7:30.
So you got to bring up his nap.
You got to have multiple screens tonight. You got to have the Terps on a screen, and you got to have the Caps on a screen.
I think you bring up Dowd's nap. At least every third interview. Yeah.
We're like, he's looking forward to his projection.
Because we're nap buddies. Like, I take naps probably
3 days a week.
I mean, it might be 4 or 5. I think it's pretty.
What about weekends? Do you take naps on the weekends?
Not every weekend, but sometimes
you do.
Sometimes I'll sneak in a Saturday nap. It's pretty delightful. Like at around 1 or 1:30.
So you napped yesterday.
100%.
That's so funny.
Probably.
I think I took a nap.
45 or 50 minuter.
I took a
solid.
I took a nap yesterday because I had zero caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem. A lot of people here drink coffee.
Yeah.
Charge them up.
Sure.
I have no problem getting through the show with no caffeine, but usually I'll have caffeine at lunch.
I don't understand that, Valdez.
When I had lunch at home, see, if I go out to eat, I'll have a soda, but I had lunch at home with a water, and then it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Water just leaves you lacking. I understand it's a basic to keep you alive, but water couldn't be more boring to drink. I mean, it literally has no taste whatsoever. None. Boring.
Yeah, but you have to drink it. Like you
I know
said.
You need it to survive.
My bottle's empty right now. I got to go refill.
You need to go get a refill. All right, let's go back to the phones real quick. It is an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout the show at 800-636-1067 on Nats opening day, Sweet 16, and the Caps with another big road date tonight in Minnesota. There's a lot happening tonight.
I don't think I fully grasped watching everything yesterday unfold that Kevin Willard was public enemy number one in College Park right now.
I don't think he's super popular in College Park right now.
It's pretty fascinating. How do you think he would be received at Xfinity if they had a home game tonight?
I mean, there would be a protest.
there'd be a cascade of boos raining down.
Yeah. You know how
you think he'd get cheered? You think he would... Like walk out to a bunch of applause.
You know how they unfurl the Maryland flag on the wall?
Yeah,
it would be
I know.
Just a big picture of Willard's head with an X through it.
Yeah.
It's probably a 5% chance that he returns to Maryland, but let's just say he did.
Down to 5% now.
It seems pretty low. But let's just say he did come back. What would the reaction be of the opening game at Xfinity next year?
Well, depends how they do.
It depends.
In this tonight.
If they go to the final four, people are probably going to have short memories and clap him up.
Okay.
If they get eliminated tonight, a lot of boos.
I'm with you though, Jason. I don't believe that it's a distraction for the players.
No.
You know what I mean? Like when Rice is taking a 3-point shot, he's not thinking
about it.
Oh man,
no,
Willard might be bouncing to Villanova.
It's a distraction
Derek Queen
for the fans.
Summed it up perfectly when he was asked at the presser, like, "What do you love about the coach?" He said,
"He's
the guy that pays us the money."
Yeah,
It's about getting the money. Like these guys don't have the same tie to their
They don't have Maryland pride.
Yeah.
Zero. Actually, no, I take that. I take that back. No.
He's a Baltimore guy.
I take that back. Julian Reese.
He has Maryland pride.
He has Maryland pride.
He can go up on the Jumbotron during a football game and say, I have Maryland pride, and people will cheer him.
Right.
If Kevin Willard did that.
If there's anybody there at a football game.
See, now you're joking. Yeah. Now you're going to have.
Yeah, now you're joking. Yeah, you're joking.
Look, we've all been to football games, and there's not usually a huge crowd.
Even
if they're playing Michigan, there's not a huge crowd.
Penn State, there's a crowd.
Juju Reese has stuck through thick and thin.
I saw this tweet, so I can't say this is my own thought. But he says, I wonder how Julian Reese must feel about Kevin Willard leaving. Reese stayed loyal to Maryland and Willard time and time again. Then Willard leaves on the eve of Juju's senior year Sweet 16 game. Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to argue that.
It's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is later today if it happens.
Yep. All right, don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined in studio by Dan Colco, Washington Nationals broadcaster on Masson. It is opening day as the Nats host the Phillies at Nats Park. And, of course, you can listen to the game right here on 106.7 The Fan. It is an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call the show at any point, 800-636-1067. Just a bunch to talk about. You got Nats opening day, first pitch 4:05. You can listen to the game, of course, right here on 106.7 The Fan. You got the Sweet 16 tonight. Terps taking on the Gators. Tip is at 7:39. You can listen to the pregame starting at 7 on the team 980. Let's go back to the phones for a bit here. Let's go to Scott in Annandale. Scott, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, fellas. You guys were talking about the Skins pick in the draft and wide receiver and Peters, he's a pretty analytical guy, right? He's only got five picks, and wide receiver is one of the most historically, questionable picks in the first round. So with only five picks, man, I could see him being a little kind of hesitant to go with wide receiver there.
Do you have the analytics on it being the most questionable? Is that true?
It's kind of historical, right? I guess I'm an old donk, so maybe, who knows, maybe in the past decade it hasn't been, but I just remember that being, for the past 20 years, a lot of first-round busts as wide receivers. Or it just takes a couple years for them to come up to speed. They're kind of slow to draw.
It depends. Just in his past draft, the guy who was drafted the highest, Marvin Harrison Jr., was a bit of a disappointment. But Malik Nabers had a great rookie campaign, as did Brian Thomas Jr. So it's a matter of situation, fit. These guys can make an impact in their first year.
And I would guess if we did a data dive that the success rate of the first-round wide receivers is probably similar to the success rate of first-round linebackers and other positions. It's just that it gets publicized more when guys don't hit.
No, I talked about it last year. It was an endless list of wide receiver busts from 2014 through 2022 or something like that. A lot of them were taken in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's basically 50-50. Our poll of the day, you can vote at Junks Radio. Are you okay with the Commanders drafting a wide receiver? Because Cakes brought it up earlier. There's a new mock draft from Bucky Brooks, who's an NFL insider, and he has the Commanders drafting Matthew Golden from Texas in the first round. I'm okay with it. I don't think it's their top need this season, but as we talked about earlier, McLaurin and Debo are both 29 years old. They both are in their final years of their contract. I doubt you could give both of those guys, $30-35 million.
Man, it doesn't seem right, like they could, but I would just trust Peters. If Peters thinks that they need a receiver in the first round and they love a Golden type, all right, you should be fine with it.
Well,
if he feels like they need an edge rusher and they go out and get an edge rusher, then you guys should be fine with it.
You should love Golden to the team because you wanted to name the team the Washington Gold.
I did. That's true.
Then you'd have a Golden Child.
That's right. I was roundly mocked for that name. And in hindsight, wasn't the greatest name. But sometimes you gotta have some out-of-the-box ideas, JP.
Are you losing your confidence in the name change?
Maybe a little bit, but I'm not gonna come off my position just because Josh Harris said we're not thinking about a name change at this point. Could kind of be the same thing as Kevin Willard saying, I'm the Maryland coach as of right now. I'm coming back to Maryland as of right now. See how well that's held up in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Man, it is crazy, this Willard situation, because yesterday I was, and Cakes the same way. I don't know where you were. I was on the other side. I thought he was staying.
Well, based on the people I was talking to, who clearly were not 100% correct.
Yeah, can you lean on them a little bit for some more?
I have. They don't understand what's going on
for
either.
Some more intel.
I thought he was coming back.
Some more accurate information.
And then I heard from someone else today that they know a Maryland donor who works for Under Armour that said he's gone as of last night. So I don't know what's true or not.
I mean, we did get the nugget that he wasn't at the team dinner last night.
Where did you get that nugget? What's the source?
Twitter.
Oh, geez.
That's my source.
Yeah, that was on.
I mean, you've got no sources.
My source for almost anything.
but I mean, on Twitter, sometimes it's attached to insider.
You're right. We prefaced it by saying we don't know if it's true, but that's the word on the street.
I'll just say,
I mean, Cakes did break down a 35-second hype video and said Willard's not included.
Not even one snippet of him. Not one frame of his bald dome.
Are other coaches included? Like assistant coaches throwing a ball to guys taking jumpers?
Not sure. I'd have to go back and rewatch it, figure it out.
It's like the Spruder film.
Yeah.
They just released all the JFK
files. But if it doesn't get resolved today, it just gets even crazier tomorrow.
A lot is dependent on whether they win or lose. If they win, like, I think he can quiet a little bit of this if they win.
Right.
If they win, then you're a game away from the Final Four.
Yeah. Oh, I think if he loses, if the Terps lose tonight, I think that there's going to be a definitive answer.
Especially if they
right away.
If they lose in ugly fashion. The optics are not going to be great.
Well, no, the optics aren't going to be great, but I'm saying if they lose, there's going to be a decision made ASAP.
Right, like it'll be announced.
It's not going to linger. It's not going to linger into the weekend.
Right,
it's pretty devastating for Maryland if they lose tonight, and they lose Willard, and they're going to lose Queen.
Dagger.
They're going to lose Reese.
Dagger.
They're going to lose Miguel.
Yeah.
And then you see what happens to Rice and Gillespie.
Yeah. What if they get deals somewhere else?
What if they follow Willard?
Possible. Or go to the SEC.
Or go to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't necessarily have to follow Willard wherever he goes. Like, whoever's going to throw them the biggest sack of cash is where they're generally going to go.
Well, and Villanova generally doesn't play Maryland, but could you imagine if he does all that and all those things happen and somehow Villanova came to Maryland?
Oh my God. You need a ticket to that game.
And then who picks the next coach?
It's a great
question.
And
who is the next coach? I mean, there's so many questions.
You mentioned your boy Bray, because Bray, of course, coached at Notre Dame for years. Now he's in the NBA.
Yeah,
and he's the local guy. I'm surprised you didn't mention Simpkins. Now, Rothstein mentioned Skin, who we thought that'd be great. He was in studio with us.
He just re-upped with George Mason.
Basically a month ago.
Love Tony Skin.
And he's connected. He's an up-and-comer, but Simpkins went to Maryland.
He did.
Maryland
Simpkins,
legend.
I would be so behind Dwayne Simpkins. I don't know if they would target... You know, a Patriot League coach who's only in his second year, but who knows?
All right, let's go to Jackson. He's calling in from College Park. Jackson, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Jax?
So, a recent Maryland grad, I was skiing out in Park City with the two buddies back in mid-February, and we came down to the hotel lobby. We were watching, I forget what game it was, but... having a drink, and I saw some guy in some Maryland slides.
Can't curse on the show.
Easy. Sorry. He proceeds to tell me that Maryland's going to Villanova after the season. And Willard. I look at him like he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Willard's going to Villanova after the season. At him like he's crazy. Thought there was no way. Told a couple of my Maryland basketball friends that was the case, and they were like, dude, no shot. And I just want to call in and see if you guys heard of these rumors prior to this past week or two, and you know, how long has this thing gone on for?
I hadn't heard it, not before, you know, last week or so. No,
seems like you got some skinny at a bar a little bit before everybody else did.
Yeah, you had an insider out there in Park City. Fancy digs out there in Park City.
I wonder who that was.
Is that Utah?
It is Utah.
Aren't you Park City, Utah, yeah.
Don't know much about Utah, but I know Park City is there. I have been to Utah. That's kind of a surprise. Yes. went to Zion National Park.
Ooh.
With my kids on a field trip.
Hmm. Zion is where?
It's in Utah.
No, I know, but where?
Oh, I don't know.
Where did you fly into?
Flew into Vegas, took a bus trip to Utah from there.
Gotcha.
That's a fancy field trip. Didn't your kids go to public school?
My kids went to a Montessori school up until they went to middle school.
And so this is a long time ago.
They would go out to California to play field hockey.
Wow.
So we would go like on a national park trip. So your boy's well-traveled.
You are. Well, South Carolina and Utah.
You're pretty much well-traveled because of your kids.
Pretty much, yes.
Because you didn't do any traveling outside of, I think, Puerto Rico before you were married. Then you did one honeymoon trip.
Correct.
You've done a poker trip to Aruba. And
two poker trips to Aruba.
Okay.
Two, thank you.
And then the furthest you've gone is Costa Rica. That's because your son set that up. And now you're mentioning
like a tour guide.
And now you're mentioning his field trips because his school set it up. It's never been you leading the charge to go out and grab culture.
No. You know what I like? The DMV. I like hanging out here. I like hanging out in this spot. This is my go-to.
I've heard you say it a million times. Why would I go to Egypt? I can go to the Luxor.
Well, I can tell you unequivocally, this guy will never go to Egypt. I need to travel. I need to fly 20 hours to go see a pyramid. I don't think so.
I'm with you.
Not interested. I need to travel 20 hours to go see a Sphinx.
You think it's 20 hours? I'm going to guess 10.
10 hours to fly to Egypt? I'm going to take the over. Definitely taking the over. It's like 7 hours just to fly to London. How much further Egypt is than London? I'm never going to figure it out because I'm never taking that trip. Not in a billion years.
12 hours and 15 minutes.
Thank you. 2+ hours.
Baltimore to Egypt.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined in studio by Dan Kolko, Washington Nationals broadcaster en masse. And it is Nationals opening day. They're hosting the Phillies. Of course, you can listen to the game right here on 106.7 The Fan.